Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 664, Infinite Flight Wishes, recorded live on January 10th, 2019. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
Welcome to our first community topic of 2019. We have gotten an amazing response. I was not expecting such a response that we got. Lots of great stuff to talk about, so hopefully we can get to it pretty quickly, because I don't want this one to be super, super long. But we have, I think, about 20 or so responses to the Twitter post that we posted. So really appreciate the responses that we got. We're going to read each one of them, and hopefully that doesn't take too long. As we normally start off with, we have our community streams. So we are also using OneNote for our show notes now instead of Word. So if we kind of stumble over a couple of things more so than normal, that's why. So, GT, let's go ahead and kick things off with our Fraggin' Friday stream from last week.
Well, we've had a lot of fun. We spent pretty much all night in Big Team on MCC. Last Friday, it was a little heavy in as far as picking Halo 2 Anniversary and Halo 4. I think we only got like one Halo 3 match, one or two. So, I don't know if they did some tweaking in it or it was just our luck. But all in all, we had a lot of fun.
They may have changed some weights around.
They could have. But yeah, I didn't, you know, it. We didn't get, you know, five games of anything in a row. We did get repeats, but.
Yep. It was a lot of fun.
It would be nice if they could get a little more random in their random search.
Yeah. It would be.
Even on in a random search, your chances of getting a duplicate game or game type back to back are still pretty high.
Yeah, they only have so many maps and modes and in rotations for certain, I guess, sets of playlists. Mm-hmm. So while it's not likely to get repeats or the same games in a row, it can happen. It statistically can happen. But it was still a lot of fun. It was nice not having to hit in Halo 3 every game of the night for the most part. Yeah.
No, it was a lot of fun. It was a decent mix.
But you're right. There was a lot of Halo 2 Anniversary.
And then Sunday, I did a little bonus stream.
Yes. Tell us about that.
It was definitely interesting. I spent about 2 hours figuring out how I'm going to do Metropolis on Halo 2. Unfortunately, no one was actually able to join up and help me, so I had to control two players, the game streaming, so that was interesting. And playing with the Master Blaster Skull definitely has its advantages.
And?
They almost outweigh the drawbacks. Like, unlimited rockets. That's not a bad thing. Unlimited sniper rifle ammo. That's not a bad thing. I had forgotten how many sniper jackals show up in that first park area. There had to be 20 bodies there by the time I was done killing sniper jackals. Just the sniper jackals.
Yeah, if you don't go out into the middle area and trigger the script to have them stop spawning, there's a lot of jackals that come.
Yeah, but if you stick your head out there, they peel it off.
On legendary, yep.
Especially if you have no shields.
They don't even have to hit your head, they just have to hit you.
But yeah, they just spawn over and over and over and over. Finally, the game gives up, so thankfully that worked. But I was playing with a unique combination of skulls. I had Sputnik and Feather on. I had Boom, Grunt Birthday Party, of course, Master Blaster. Let's see, what else did I have? inbred, Grunt birthday party. I already said Grunt birthday party. Grunt funeral. Sorry. And it made things interesting.
I bet.
It actually made the soccer ball pretty easy to get once I figured out where to throw the grenade. Or, well, shoot the rocket in this case.
Oh, that's... I didn't even think about that. You're right. Because normally you have to get that with the Banshee.
Well, you can get it. You can get it without the Banshee. It's just a little harder. There's more jumps involved without Feather on. With Feather on, if you get the spacing correct on the rocket, I was using a rocket because it was easier to have the second player stand further back, and that would give me time to switch control so I could control the player going in the air. And I managed to, one time I actually made it up to where I needed to be. And if the fall timer was like 7 milliseconds longer, I would have made it.
Oh no.
I'm literally about to touch the ground and bah, like,
I remember grinding for that one on Halo 2 Vista, doing that method, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm up there, I got it. What's the fall damage gonna kick in? And within 3 feet, I'm dead.
I basically stopped right there where you have to face the three wraiths. It takes an exorbitant amount of rockets on Legendary to kill a wraith. It was like 6 rockets per wraith.
I can believe that.
So I did not get the lucky spawn and get any blue elites in the race. I got all of the white ones.
The spec ops elites.
No, the I can't think what they call it now. I had it.
I thought the white ones were spec.
No, the spec ops elites are easy to kill.
Those the red ones then?
The white ones are ultras.
Oh, okay.
The white ones are the ultras.
I was just
gold are the generals.
CIA says ultras are majors.
Yeah, these were ultras. But yeah, after doing that for 20 minutes, I decided it was time to be done with that level because I'd been streaming for about 2 hours.
Dang, I remember hopping on when you were at that part.
You were
trying over and over and over again to.
Well, I think I got figured out how to do it. You know, that's kind of why I do these practice runs, to figure out good strategies to do it with these different skulls on. Because in a lot of cases, it makes the majority of the level easier. And the whole reason I'm doing this with Sputnik and Feather on is to see if I can relatively easily get the Scarab gun at the end of the level.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm trying to pack as many achievements in a run as possible. And, you know, some of them people might choose not to get, like going for the Scarab gun. But that's why I do this testing. If I can find the right combination of skulls, maybe I can make it to where it's a little easier to do it than the established ways to do it. You know,
right.
The established way to get the Scarab gun in Metropolis is to lure the Banshee down the tunnel. Well, that's really hard to do on Legendary because the Banshee just kind of chews through you in 3 shots. Not to mention you have to deal with the sniper jackals and you have to deal with the spec ops elites that are invisible. You have elite majors in there. It's a mess. So, this is more an experiment than it was an actual run. I did record it, and I will finish it. I might even do another stream this weekend and see if I can finish it. Yeah, it's just one of those deals. Like I said, it's why I do these, I generally do these test sessions in private, because they can be rather frustrating because, I've got to go through and figure out how to run the mission with this particular group of skulls on. The first mission I did for the Achieving Halo series was Pillar of Autumn. on Halo CE with the Grunt Funeral Skull on.
Starting with the first.
And the first time I played through it, it took me a good hour to get through that level because I had to figure out how to use the skull to my advantage and not have it kill me.
Yeah, some of those skulls you have to be really careful and make sure that you plan ahead for the side effects.
Yeah.
Of what can happen.
Because, you know, on that particular run, I was also trying to do it without taking health damage. You know, I was trying to double up on skulls. So, but I also wanted to make it somewhat as easy as possible. And the nice thing with about the skulls are, is with the right combination of skulls, you can make legendary easier, but you have to switch up the tactics.
I mean, I can see why you have to go through and plan everything and make sure you're checking everything, because it's definitely, if you're not aware of some side effect or whatever, it can definitely get you.
I did find out that with the Master Blaster Skull, if you're in a vehicle, you can fire the weapon if you're the one with the overshield.
Oh, very nice. So there's a little.
If anybody's out there trying to get the Master Blaster achievement, hop in the tank.
Very nice.
Leave the person with no shields back at the beginning and just head on down the road in the tank.
So you haven't actually made the video yet. You've just gone through and,
like I said, what I'm doing now is just practicing the run.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
That way, when I actually do the recording, one, it shortens the video time because I'm not trying to have to figure all this stuff out. So that means I have to do less editing.
Right.
And it gives me a chance to develop strategies and, you know, show people strategies on how to do it with this particular combination of skulls on. Because anybody can complete Halo on Legendary. It just takes time.
Yeah. And you have to make sure.
You learn the spawns, you learn what weapons you need to have with you to, you know, kill certain enemies. You know, like on Cario Station, you need to make sure that you have a plasma pistol at all times.
And I think as you play through it, you kind of learn when you can be aggressive and when you have to be reserved.
Right.
Well, cool. So you're going to be attempting to record that, I guess, pretty soon?
Yeah, once I figure out. I've got to get through the rest of the level that I'm currently playing through to make sure the I can do what I want with the rest of the level. So, you know, it's like if the whole scarab skull thing doesn't work out, then, you know, I might turn Feather off because it can be really irritating, but it can also be pretty helpful.
Well, very situational.
Yeah, it's like the skull you pick up on Metropolis. It actually makes getting the skull relatively easy if you have a second body with you. You just have to place the grenade correctly, and it will just launch you right, almost right up there to it.
That's the one that you have to run up the little archway thing, right?
Right, and you've got to bounce up there pretty far before you can actually walk. Because if you don't get up the arch high enough, you just slide back down.
Right. All right. Very nice. I had my achievement stream on Sunday as well. Very shortly after you finished your stream. I think it was probably about an hour in between when you ended and when I started. So I don't know if I got anything on the stream specifically. I did work towards Nightbane and the remove the vicious from the board, which is killing knights and watchers. I think I got pretty close to the knights. Maybe I may have completed the knights on Sunday. I can't remember exactly, but I got that one completed. And then before the podcast, I got the remove the bishops from the board to the watchers one. So I've got both of those now completed. And I also got achieved quick trigger finger, which is the win 450 matches.
Nice. In
multiplayer. So I got three done this week. And the next one I'm working on is going to be Goat Roped, which is still working on the Halo CE under 3 hours on Legendary. And then I need to head on over to the Halo 2 Legendary and start that one. I might be doing that one with Futched from Forward Under Dawn. Unless Pins, just you want to die. Right? The whole... That's a glitch, right? That wasn't in the original Halo 2 game.
No, that was in the original game.
Was it in the original? Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what made Legendary Co-op so freaking hard, because somebody would die and you get reset to the last checkpoint.
But there wasn't a difficulty multiplier for multiplayer co-op.
Yeah,
I think there is. So at least there's that.
There was a multiplier for Legendary Co-op.
So it was more difficult than single co-op or a single Legendary?
Well, you know, honestly, I would have to play it again, but I seem to remember co-op Legendary was harder than solo Legendary.
Okay.
At least in spots.
Say, do you know, or Laird, if you're lurking, do you know? I'm guessing if Laird was in here, he probably would know for sure. So, yep, working on those. So that means I'm now down, I believe, to 23 achievements that I need for MCC. Still need all those Lazos, which are going to be a pain in the butt. And a few of the multiplayer ones that I've just been working on. For those that were watching the Friday stream last week, when we got into some of the King of the Hill ones, I was saying, let me get some hill points and then let me get some splatters. So I've been working towards those. And I'm actually getting pretty close, not pretty close, it's still quite a bit of ways, but as far as the King of the Hill medals, I've been making some pretty good headway on those, and the splatters is only 100. So I think after the double XP is done, I'll try to focus on getting some of those other achievements done. And then I have a couple other ones in multiplayer which are kind of close, like over 75% done, so it's just grinding a little bit more in multiplayer to actually get them, or for some of them just hopping into customs and doing it with other people to grind for those.
You know, the funny thing is you think about this, once the MCC launched, you know, people were out there trying to grind all the achievements, because when it launched it came with a lot of achievements. Can you imagine finishing your last achievement and then they add 20 more?
Well, I don't know what the number was, but it was another 1,000 gamer score when they added the ODST stuff. So it was originally, it was 1,000 achievements at 5,000 gamer score or something like that.
Something like
Maybe not that many achievements.
But no, it's a lot of damn achievements is what it is.
Yeah. Actually, it's easier to view on my Xbox than it is on the app. I think as far as number of achievements. So there's 600, so there's 500 achievements in the base game. And for 5,000 gamer score, and there's 600 total now for 6,000 gamer score.
You get the first 500 done, and then you tack on an extra 100.
Right. Have fun with that. But I really don't have too many more to go. 23 is not hard. It's just the lasers in those that are going to be hard.
Yeah, it's just time consuming.
Yeah, so 1, 2, 3. Is there an ODST laser? Yep, there's an ODST Lazo. So there's 5 Lazos, and then the complete all Lazo playlists. So so that's the 6, and then there's a complete one mission with Lazo playlists. So there's 7 Lazos. That means I have pretty much 16 that shouldn't really be too difficult to do. The only painful one for multiplayer, I think, is going to be doing the environmentalist medals, but fusion coils can work with that, and I actually got quite a few of those when we were playing on whatever the Zanzibar remake is. It's Stone something.
Yeah.
Stone Town, something like that. So that's the only one I think that's going to be really painful. But I can, at least you can customize the searching to kind of narrow in with what you're going for.
Yeah. It does help.
It does definitely help. So that was our streams for the past week. And we actually have some Halo Waypoint articles to talk about this week as well.
Woo-hoo.
They're back. They're alive. Yay.
Yay.
So our first article we have is from Tashi, and this is HCS 2019 announcements. There's a couple new things with the grassroots program that they're doing. Based on the ever-growing support base behind Halo 3. They have introduced an HCS Invitational that's going to be taking place March 15th through 17th after the UGC Classic, which is taking place this weekend. The top six teams from the Halo Classic at UGC will be flown out to Austin, Texas for March 15th through 17th to play, I guess, at the Microsoft store, because they mentioned that they're going to have several exhibition matches that are going to feature Microsoft store competitors, content creators, pro players, as well as fans in attendance. So I'm guessing they're hosting this event at the Austin Microsoft store, even though they don't explicitly say that. Most of the competition is going to be centered around Halo 3, of course, but Tashi also says, wouldn't it be fun to watch pros compete across all Halo titles? So it might just see more than Halo 3. I know there'd be a lot of support for Halo 2, obviously a lot of support for Halo 5. Halo 4 and Halo CE might get the bench seat, but I know there's quite a few people that are interested in Halo CE as well.
CE has its own unique challenges.
Halo 4 and Halo Reach might get the back seat a little bit.
Yeah, I don't see Halo 4 or Halo Reach really being part of that, but you know, I'd see Halo CE before I'd see Halo Reach or Halo 4.
Yeah. No one likes Halo 4. I mean, there's reasons, but yeah. So that's going to be coming up as the official HCS event. Again, that'll be in March. That'll be taking place right before which event is it? Blanking on. There's another grassroots event that for some reason I'm totally blanking on. Someone help me out. Anyway, there's another grassroots event. I think this takes place right before that, or very soon before that. There's also another DreamHack that's going to be doing another HCS grassroots supported tournament. DreamHack Dallas will feature a Halo 3 4v4 May 31st through June 2nd. So there's now three official HCS grassroots tournaments happening this year. And a lot of steam going for Halo 3. Gamers Outreach is what it was. Gamers Outreach is taking place March 23rd through the 24th. So this invitational is basically the week before. They're looking to do more Halo 3 events throughout the year. They're still kind of judging customer engagement and are wanting to see how the first one turns out. But assuming everything goes well, they're going to keep on looking for more ways to have Halo 3 tournaments be featured and to work with other tournament organizers to have these LAN events happen. They're also looking at helping increase price pools and supporting events that are outside the U.S. There's definitely a lot of support that the grassroots program is wanting to support. And if you are a tournament organizer, then you definitely want to sign up for the grassroots movement. And who knows, maybe you might be one of those recipients that gets featured. So if you're a tournament organizer, definitely check it out. Halo.gg/grassroots. And that was a pretty short article. So, first one of the year. Thank you, Tashi, for keeping it short. Again, the UGC Halo Classic is taking place this weekend. So make sure you are tuned in to Twitch at, I believe it's UGC Events. Yeah. Oh, no. So Mixer is UGC Events and then Twitch is UGC. We'll go ahead and jump into our first community update of 2019, thanks to Unishek. Everyone's back in the office. They're all now furiously going to work on Infinite and HCS Grassroots. So let's jump into this. We briefly talked about the HCS Classic. Again, a full sold-out HCS Classic featuring Halo 3 4v4 and 128 teams is taking place starting on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And I was listening to the HCS Pro Talk folks who actually pulled a little bit more information from the UGC events page. There's going to be four separate streams. There's going to be a main stream, which is twitch.tv/UGC. There's going to be a Bravo, Charlie, and Delta stream. as well. So UGC underscore Bravo Delta Charlie and Delta, because they have the Halo 3 4v4, they have the Halo 3 FFA, and then there's a Halo CE 2v2, all happening that weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're going to be busy.
They're going to be super busy. It's going to be one jam-packed weekend. They're going to go through and get the top 32 teams by the end of the first day. So 128 will be whittled down to 32 teams. That's insane. That's a lot of teams to go through. It kind of reminds me of the MLG days a little bit.
Yeah. Never know. We could see some new faces.
We could definitely see a lot of new faces. It'll be interesting to see who comes out of the woodwork as far as some of the old school pros. See how the new pros match up with some of the older talent. And you also have some folks that are in the Halo 5 space that came up with the Halo 3 space. So you have Pistola, Roy, Snipedown. You have a lot of old school Halo folks that ended up coming through and playing through Halo 5. So it's going to be interesting to see for those folks if they can quickly revert back to Halo 3. And then for teams like the Splice roster, I don't know if they're playing in this because I think they went all COD now. But for...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
But for other pros like Boobadoobo, who kind of got their start with Halo 5, I think Boobadoobo was Halo 5. I don't think I remember him seeing in Halo 4. But those kinds of players who really started with that, if they can go over and make the transition back to an older style. And then folks that played through Halo 3 and didn't really move on after that, see if their skills are up to snuff. So it's going to be interesting to see the skill breakdown over the weekend and see who really has the, like what kind of skill set really shines and comes out on top. It's definitely going to be an interesting weekend. A lot of stuff, a lot of gameplay. I'm going to try to watch as much of it as I can. I don't think it'll be too much, but I'll at least try to have the streams on in the background because it's a lot of Halo action. Four different streams, 128 teams just for the 4v4 piece. So definitely check it out. And shout out to the HDS Pro Talk folks. They do a wonderful job with their podcast, and they've been breaking down roster changes and updates for the tournament. A lot of stuff that they've done is just really supporting competitive Halo. And if you want to hop in their Discord over the weekend, they're doing a watch along, so they don't have the stream up, and other than everyone just opens the stream at the same time, and then they'll talk about what they're watching, and it's just a place for people to kind of watch and react together, and it's almost like your own little private viewing, except virtual.
Yeah,
it's something that they did for the Atlanta. Last Halo 5 tournament, and they're doing it again this time. So head on over to their Discord and join them if you want to partake in that. For Halo 5, we have a free play. So for those that do not have Halo 5 and are not part of Game Pass, then you can download Halo 5 Guardians for free this weekend and play until probably Monday morning. I think those things usually kind of last until either midnight Pacific time or 3 a.m. Between midnight and 3 a.m. Pacific time, I think, is when those kinds of things usually turn off. But as of now, Halo 5 Guardians is now free to download and play. They're going to keep the Holiday Fiesta and Castle Wars playlists up until Thursday next week. And double XP is still in effect. That means this double XP will have been up for over a month.
Well, it's definitely helping out on that level grind.
I am going to try to play so much Warzone this weekend. I have gone through a lot of my arena boosts, and I have a lot of boosts left in Warzone for XP, including victories and jackpots. I've gone through most of my legendaries, but I have a lot of victories and jackpots left.
Yeah, I'm going to need to jump into Warzone and burn up mine as well. I haven't been playing much Warzone lately, so I've got an abundance of boosts in there.
Well, we might do that tomorrow for Dragon Friday a little bit, depending on our party size. So if people want to grind with us,
that's what the lobby wants. That's what the lobby gets.
There you go. Make sure you tell your friends who have an Xbox but maybe don't have Halo 5 and don't have Game Pass to download it and give it a try this weekend. Next Thursday, Halo 2 BR Slayer and Action Sack will take over Holiday Fiesta and Castle Wars. Halo 2 BR Slayer will be up for 2 weeks, and Action Sack will be up for 3 weeks, and they do have a thread on the forum dedicated to Action Sack feedback. So if you want to hop in the Action Sack playlist once it pops up and give feedback to some of the game modes and maps that they're trying out in Action Sack, then definitely do that. Uni did say that they haven't forgotten about some of the stuff they did promise over the holidays, so doing a refresh on Big Team is something they're still looking to do, and the head-to-head playlist. This is something that Josh Menke mentioned in the last community update, so no need to worry. Those things are still being considered. They'll probably just come later in the month. For the Master Chief Collection, there's been a little bit of a matchmaking update from Postums. Yesterday, he posted this in the forums. The actual big update that was slated for last month isn't coming out until after UGC happens. Kind of makes sense. You don't want to mess up a build that people have been practicing on and playing on for a while. That build that's going to be coming out, hopefully this next week or the week after, is going to contain the new modern aiming, the new skulls for Halo CE, and just bug fixes and improvements. For the MCC matchmaking update from Postums and the social matchmaking 4v4 for Halo 3 Slayer, they lowered the weighting of AR start entries. So now it's a 50-50 split between AR start and BR starts. Thank you. Those AR starts are rough.
Yeah. Well, really, it makes you want to get to the power weapons as soon as possible.
Yes, it does. Halo 3 Assault, they added multi-bomb assault for Assembly, Citadel, and the Pit. For 8v8 on Halo 3, they added Sandbox, the Sandbox variant Entrenched for BTB, Slayer, Multi-Flag, and Neutral Bomb. They did a total Sandbox waiting pool. Our total Sandbox waiting pool is the same, but each lowered with the addition of Entrenched. So they changed the weighting on Sandbox for the map rotation in AV8. And then Halo CE, the Icefield CTF has had its weighting reduced due to high quit rates.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah, Icefields was one of those PC-only maps. And during my time with Halo PC, I never saw it get played that often. Death Island was probably one of the more popular ones.
Definitely a lot more popular. Yeah, CTF Icefields, it's just, yeah.
You had Jeffrophobia, you have Icefield, you have Timberland, which that one is nuts too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a few of those PC ones that I think pretty much all the PC exclusive ones are Big Team related ones that I can think of.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're just rough.
Although Infinity can be fun.
Yes, it can. It's just, it's still big.
Yeah, it was definitely built for more than 16 players. It can take a while to find somebody.
Yeah, if you had 32 players on that map, maybe even 24.
I'd say 24.
Even 24 would be better.
Yeah, I'd say 24 would be good for that map. The only thing that saves that map is when you have an objective-based game type, so it tends to congregate people around certain points. So you don't spend as much time looking for someone.
Yep. Next thing is social matchmaking infection. Halo 3 hide and seek has been removed based on overwhelming feedback. The waitings in the Halo 3 playlist is now better aligned with the Living Dead playlist from the Halo 3 on Xbox 360. Competitive games, Halo 3 Lone Wolves, they lowered the objective game type waiting. And Slayer and objective is now an 80-20 split for waiting. Thanks, Postums, for the update. Back over to the regular community update. Griffball, Winter League 2019 is opening registration on the 14th. Their winter 2019 season is taking place on Halo 3. So due to the hype, they are going back to Halo 3 and doing it on MCC. The official maps are AGLA Foundry and AGLA Griffball on Ragemore Nerd's file share. And they are doing this one, Halo 3. They don't know if they're going to keep Halo 3 for next season's going on after this one, but they're doing Halo 3 for this season. Team rosters are limited to 5. You have 4 and a backup. And you can go over to playgriffball.com, and that's where you'll find more information. And then you can join up on the Discord to look for a team if you're interested. We need to get them on the show at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe we can try to work on something for next week.
Maybe.
Have to reach out to Rage and see what his schedule is. Next is the end, pretty much close to the end of the update. Pretty light update, which is nice. Halo Collateral Damage hardcover compilation will be available for purchase on January 16th. I don't know if that's up on pre-order yet on Amazon. But that should be, I mean, that's less than a week away. So that's pretty nice. Not to get in on that one because I didn't buy the paper copies.
Yeah, I might have a look into that too.
I'm actually just going to look for it right now while I do that. Halo Gear on Twitter is interested in doing some free stuff Friday giveaways. So make sure you're following them over on Twitter to see when they do that. They didn't kind of give a indication on what week is coming, but saying soon probably means within this month, would be my guess. So the Halo Collateral Damage hardcover is MSRP at $14.99. Right now, Amazon has it at $10.52. And there's a Kindle version for $8.99.
Not too bad.
Not too bad at all.
Considering, I think the comics were, what, $3 a piece?
Yeah. The comics is one of those things where I usually wait until the end just because I don't think it's... The comics are there's something I can wait on. Well, especially how far I'm behind I am on things, too. Maybe that's my problem.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, the one drawback with comics is the fact that they're so short. That by the time you get to the last page, you're still wanting more. And it's always nice to get them in hardcover because it makes it a lot easier to read and a lot more durable.
Depends on if you have the comics or whoever has the comics in here, but I think those are normally what, less than 20 pages or somewhere around 22 pages, something like that.
Something like that.
So that is actually up for pre-order on Amazon. I'll try to get a link out on the short link as well. Probably just be huttackler.com/collateral damage just to get you the Amazon link if you want to do that. Awesome Games Done Quick had some runners doing Halo Reach this past weekend and completing it in a pretty quick amount of time as they normally do. I think it was this past weekend when they did it, and they had, I'm going to probably butcher these names, Pedregas and Wolfie. I hope I'm saying that right. They do have a link to the playthrough that was done on Twitch on the update, and they beat Halo Reach in 1 hour, 35 minutes, and 2 seconds.
Wow. That's moving.
Yep. Reach was one of those that there were quite a few ways you could speed run that one.
Oh, yeah.
In Halo 5 Guardians, there is a blue team rec pack in the rec store. And this one is similar to the Memories of Reach rec pack, where you had kind of the June armor and the Carter armor. They've done that with blue team. So that is available for 120,000 rec points in the rec store for Halo 5. Don't know how long that's going to be up. I think these packs are usually up for about 2 weeks' time. So hop on over to Halo 5, and if you're still looking for rec armor pieces, then this would be a great way to get some of the blue team stuff if you're looking for that.
Hmm. I may need to liquidate some warthogs.
Or just use some... Well, I guess it's not double rec, it's just double XP. But yeah, pretty much. And we have a new person on the community team, so welcome Snickerdoodle to the community team. She has been part of the community management stuff on, I think, Xbox specifically. So now she's officially joined the community team for Halo.
Cool.
So she, yeah, okay. She had another written update. She was on the community team for Microsoft Studios Global Publishing, like Killer Instinct, Age of Empires, and Ori. And before that, she was on the Xbox community forums as a support agent. So congratulations to you, Snickerdoodle. You've put so much time and effort into the Halo community, and it is well deserved. One last thing. At the bottom of the update, a gaming coordinator at the San Antonio Microsoft store, John Anguiano, I probably butcher that name too. He hosted the Halo 3 2v2 in San Antonio back in December, and he asked all of the players to donate toys that would be going to the Children's Hospital of San Antonio. They managed to collect over 40 toys, and the best part of it was that Master Chief was the one to deliver the toys to the hospital.
Cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's cool to see that kind of stuff happen. And Uni sneaks one final question into the update. He says, if you could have one piece of Halo art in full quality, whether it's a poster print, cover art, screenshot, or the likes, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Might they make that our next topic of the week right there? Just to see what people say.
No, I don't need that. I don't need that brain freeze. That would be so hard to choose.
There's a lot of artwork out there.
Yeah, there is.
And, I mean, you could even, if you wanted to broaden the question even further, do you include fan art?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's official stuff that he's talking about.
Yeah. It's an interesting question that I don't think I've thought about that often.
Yeah, it's stuff like that I try not to think about. Because I go into brain lock trying to pick one.
Well, you got a whole week if that's the topic we decide to go with.
Oh, that's not even close to enough time. I might be able to figure it out in 3 years.
Have to pour over all of the screenshots.
Provided they don't release anything else.
There's a lot of stuff out there as far as concept art, and concept art's usually the ones that are the hardest to find, because there's some that don't ever get officially published, but there's the artists that actually work for the studio that have their own web pages or their own like DeviantArt pages or something like that, where they actually made artwork if this was never put out there on Halo Waypoint, for example.
As official stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So you got that, too. So that was the update for this past week. Thank you, Uni, for posting it. I think it was around 2 o'clock today, so I had plenty of time to actually review it and make notes to it. So thank you for that. This week's social stream was hosted by Green Skull. So over on his Mixer channel, he was playing some social matchmaking. So if you had the chance to match up with him, he was given the... Well, he wasn't given away, but if you matched up against him, you would have earned yourself a Ice Unicorn nameplate for MCC and an Ice Unicorn skin for Halo 5. playlist updates that I have marked down since I was checking. Warzone Turbo is now gone.
Sad days.
Sad day indeed. And there is a new Halo product out on the market. Thanks to Kevin for posting this over on Halo Collector. And now I want it. And my wife will probably end up buying it for me. But there is a new Halo Honor and Duty blanket on Amazon. And this is a really cool looking blanket. Have you seen this one yet, GT?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I don't know if this... Kevin is in the chat right now. Did this just slip under and just kind of popped up randomly? Or when did this show up? Or how did you find out about it? Because he was the one that I found it from. So once I found it, I'm like, ooh, can I have this wife? For those that are in the chat, I'll go ahead and post a link. According to Kevin, it's really, really nice. It's super soft fleece. And I guess it is pretty big, so it could be used on, I think, a king size bed. It's
62 by 90 inches.
Yeah. So maybe not wide enough. So maybe,
I guess maybe well, it's more, I do like list a it full. As a kid's bedding feature. So
still 90 inches. That's bigger than a kid's bed.
Well, you got to remember that they're designed to kind of hang down towards the floor too, but
I guess that's true. I'll still take it.
Ooh, they got Captain America too.
They have lots of different designs on here. Star Wars.
Oh, Ninja Turtles. I want the Awesome Mix Volume 2 one.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Very nice. Oh, so there's lots of different designs on here.
Well, they've got a classic Mickey.
And Minnie. Or, well, not classic Minnie, but.
Yeah, they've got Minnie and Mickey. Color versions, and then they have a black and white Mickey. Yeah, because most of these that they're picturing on beds are on twin beds.
Definitely want it though. I'll just use it as a throw.
Great, throw on a couch or hang on a wall.
Heck, I can even put on that wall behind me.
Yeah.
Halo on Twitter also put this out, which I figure we could at least start covering on the show because it's a nice little tidbit that we can throw in there. This past week in Halo, on January 4th, 2537, Professor Anders and Spartan Jerome 092 are awoken from cryosleep to deal with a flood outbreak on the UNSC Spirit of Fire. So whenever they tweet those out, or whenever BS Angel tweets those out, I'll make sure to include them. Although I'm sure there's probably some major timeline I could probably pull some of this stuff from anyways.
I'm pretty sure Pins has that all typed up for you too, in spreadsheet.
Well, that's just like categorizing certain stories.
Well, that was a story.
Guess you're technically true. Technically right on that. Either Pins or it's probably CIA since he's in here. Probably something on Halopedia as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of them out there that give you, pretty much a complete timeline for any documented Halo event.
Yeah, I see you, CIA. I got you. All right, we got some community updates to go through, and we still haven't even reached our topic yet. This is something that I forget where I saw this, but there is a Halo fan film called Dawn Under Heaven, and a trailer was released this past week, and it is really, really well done. I don't think I've heard about this before. And the actual fan film, I think, is scheduled to come out the week after next, I think. But it's called Dawn Under Heaven. If you have the chance, I definitely recommend checking it out over on their Facebook page. That's where I found it. I don't know if they have a YouTube page, but I found it on their Facebook page. Oh, this is going to autoplay, isn't it? It looks like the production is really well done.
Yeah.
I am very impressed. Some other people to reach out to and have on the show. So it is on YouTube. Thanks, Confal. So that's happening, and we'll try to keep up to date on that as things develop there. Kevin's saying there's a fan-made Halo anime coming, too.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going to have to get the lowdown from you on that later, Kevin. For Installation 01, Gamumentary is kind of a video series. I forget who actually does, who makes those, or if that's the YouTube channel itself. I'm checking. Yeah, okay, so this Gamumentary, they did a little video documentary on Installation 01. You'll see some familiar faces on there and hear some of familiar voices from the Installation 01 team. Some that we've had on the podcast before. And it talked about how Installation 01 got their development start, the legal discussions that they had with Microsoft about what they were doing, and just where it is today, all the steps that they've taken to get here. Lots of really cool in-depth stuff, and some of it we talked about when they were on the show here, and some of it they talked about in some of their other videos, but it's just nice to have kind of a one consolidated story and how Installation 01 is where it is today. It's about 20 minutes. I think it's definitely worth the time if you aren't super in the know about when Installation 01 is. Again, it's Gamumentary, so it's basically documentary, except replace doc with game, and you'll find it. For those that are in the chat here for the live stream, I'll go ahead and link to it as well, so you can go and save it to your watch list for later. For Halo Downfall, they have their weekly update, number 14. They have a little bit of discussion on, they were originally thinking to have multiplayer in for kind of doing ODST multiplayer style gameplay, but they decided to remove it, focus on their campaign that they want to tell, and they might come back around to doing multiplayer later. And then they also have featured some renders of their ghost that they've been working on. I think that's it for community projects. Yep. some community tweets to highlight. Puckett is hosting a Winter Wonder LAN January 31st through February 4th. He's rented a ski house, and they've got CRTs, classic Xboxes. And they're looking for people to come and have a good time playing Halo CE and Shadowrun. So getting that LAN spirit back together for Halo. So cool stuff there. We have, and CIA's in here for this, so he can chat up a little bit if he wants to. But there is a vote going on in the Halo lore community for Halo Nation to join Halopedia. This started, I believe, at the beginning of this week. There's a forum post over on the Halopedia site. And for those that are interested in it, again, I will post it here in the chat. So the Halo Nation group is looking to move away from, correct me if I'm wrong on the CA, but Fandom, who hosts the, it's like a Wikia site hosting thing. There's some stuff that they don't like with how the hoster adds things to the web pages without kind of their input. And the Halopedia platform has a lot more kind of freedom to do what they want and how they want it. So there is some history behind Halo Nation and Halopedia. And back in 2010, there was a split, but they have since kind of overcome their differences and are very much supporting of one another. And there's now kind of a reason for Halo Nation and Halopedia to re-merge again. Again, there's a lot more detail in the article, and I guess CIA, if you want to come on and do a quick little blurb for next week's show, we can get that arranged as well. But this is for those who have been invested in Halo Nation and Halopedia for a while. You can go and vote for what you want. You edit the wiki page, and then you kind of, there's certain little things that you put in there to say whether you support or not. The votes that really count are for people that have actually made contributions to both wikis. So if you haven't really contributed to either one of them, you can still vote. It's just that your vote won't carry as much weight for considering the vote. For the most part, it is getting wide community support for the Halopedia team. Everyone has supported the merge. Now, on the community side, there is, looks like, mostly support. There's a couple of neutrals, one opposed, which doesn't look like the person that was in there doesn't quite meet the voting criteria, but a lot of support for the merge and a couple of neutrals in there. So overall, it seems like the more unity that we have as a community, the better. And with the situation that it sounds like Halo Nation is in, it just kind of makes sense to merge both teams together, which means more resources to focus on kind of, I guess, fewer distribution points, which makes articles that much better, more time for people to go in and make dedicated updates to just one source instead of two sources. And I think overall, it's just, I think the whole Unity piece is better.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense.
So yeah, that's happening. Again, just check out Halopedia's tweet on the topic and head on over there and make your vote. Finally, on the community side of things, we have Pro Ace Joker beating the world record for Halo 4 Legendary. And he beat it by 27 seconds. He was streaming this on, I think, either the 7th or the 8th. And he has the full run up on his YouTube. He said during his run that it was the longest standing world record on the Halo Run site, and he broke it. So congratulations, Joker. That is some dedication, and you definitely have been putting a lot of work into it. I know I try to hop over to your speed runs whenever I can. Congrats, buddy. That's awesome.
Now you just need to help Dust with his laser runs.
Yeah, if he wants to come help me, then sure, I will gladly take it. All right, so that's it for community. Now it is time for the big one. The topic that we have all been waiting to talk about. We'll talk about it now. So we asked last week the community, what do people want to see in Halo Infinite's flighting program? And we got an outstanding response on Twitter. We got practically no response on Facebook and Discord. I'm a little surprised on the Discord. Not too surprised on the Facebook. We don't have as active of a media over there. Although I am trying to make sure that whenever I post on Twitter, I'm posting on Facebook. So for those that rather prefer Facebook, don't worry. I'm trying to make sure we're covered there as well. But I asked and we got a lot of responses back. We're going to go through all those. I decided for this one just to leave them pretty much in order of when they got tweeted, instead of trying to group them together in kind of similar tweets. So we'll just kind of go through that, and hopefully it doesn't take too long. The first one up there is DJ, and it actually is showing at the top because I had that one favorited and nothing else was favorited on my personal account. But he says, Hammer, Swords, and Griffball. Day one. Which, being DJ, that doesn't surprise me.
I'm pretty sure we can all agree with that one.
Yeah. Have some Griffball testing in there. Because it is the sport of the future. There you go. Major Thesk says, well, gameplay, I'm more or less open to whatever they're offering. If I were really picky, however, or if I were to really pick, I'd want all the offensive Spartan abilities like Charge, Ground Pound, and Hover to be completely removed. And if he were to be extra picky, he would say to have modes where you could test out sprint but no dash, dash but no sprint, and both modes again but with no clamber. He's not 100% for classic gameplay, but he does think Halo 5 was overdesigned with movement features. So kind of bringing the movement into question, which I think everyone's kind of on the same ground here as far as they don't want some of the Spartan abilities in the next one, but they don't necessarily want them all gone. And there's your typical your classic sprint versus no sprint debate, that's going to be there for the longest time. I don't think that one's going to ever change. Oh,
that's going to happen forever.
Yeah. But the dash in sprint, I guess he's talking about like the reach dash. I'm not sure. Like
where he's talking about the thruster pack.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, that's what he's talking about.
I could do without the charge and ground pound. I'm okay with removing those. I mean, ground pound is definitely cool. It makes for some really awesome hurrah moments, but I'm for removing it
from multiplayer or, you know, regular gameplay, but I still want to see it as an available option in the game, because there are some fun customs that people have made with ground pound.
That's true.
You know, hover, it could stay or go. I don't really see that as an offensive type ability, unlike a Spartan charge or a ground pound.
Right. It's more like an assistive thing.
Yeah. Thruster pack, if it's gone, I probably won't miss it after a few games, but I kind of like it.
Well, I get caught whenever I go into MCC trying to thrust away from things, and that usually doesn't end well.
Yeah. The no clamber thing. Yeah. I don't feel it hurts the game.
I see where it definitely changes the game.
It changes the game, but it's one of those things that if you use clamber, you're vulnerable. If you turn off clamber and use crouch jump, then you're not as vulnerable and you can move quicker. So there's incentive there to learn how to crouch jump on these maps. You know, the one thing is they need to build the maps where it works just as well with a crouch jump as it does with clamber.
Well, I think the whole point of the clamber was to get to those places where you couldn't necessarily crouch jump.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that is the only thing that I really think needs to change about that. You know, make all these clamber spots something you can crouch jump to as well. And a lot of them that are in Halo 5, you can crouch jump to, but it takes time to learn how to do that. And clambering does make it easier for the novice. You know, the people that aren't trying to squeak every single ounce out of the game.
I mean, there's definitely places, and we've seen it in competitive, where to get to certain places you have to clamber, but kind of in the general sense of playing Halo 5, I don't think it's that impactful.
Yeah, I don't think it was detrimental to the game.
No, I definitely don't think so. But again, I think the armor abilities, the Spartan abilities, that's something that 343 is probably looking at pretty heavily on what they want to include or exclude for Halo Infinite going forward, both from a campaign perspective, but probably a lot more from a multiplayer perspective. And the thing is, with the Spartan abilities, it also affects map design. And there was definitely a lot of complaints and issues that the community had with how the maps were designed for Halo 5 on multiplayer.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of that boils down to the sprint and clamber, because Spartan charge and ground pound really don't affect map design that much.
You're right.
Because, I mean, even in the older maps, there were places that you could ground pound from, and any place you can run, you can Spartan charge. So, you know, those two abilities really didn't have that much to do with map design. Not as much as clamber and sprint did.
Next one that we have for reply is Hidden Xperia, which, I mean, that's pretty cool that we got him to reply. So thanks. He says, multiplayer, theater, and partial armor customization. I want the game to get thoroughly tested, but at the same time, still feel new to people who tested it when it releases. I think the theater thing, I haven't traditionally seen that done in like beta tests or stuff like that. It does kind of make sense with how poorly theater was implemented in Halo 5. Maybe have
that? Yeah, it does. You know, I would like to be able to play with theater before the game launches and, you know, give them the feedback that says this is crap.
Yeah.
Because theater in Halo 5 is really a big letdown. It you know, it really is a huge letdown with as clunky and as unreliable it is. You know, the games, it wasn't very well implemented. I won't say it wasn't thought out. It just wasn't implemented well.
Right. Say is also saying he would love a campaign theater again.
Oh, most definitely. Campaign theater needs to return.
And a theater is one of those things where they haven't traditionally done it. I mean, I wouldn't put my money on them actually doing it, but it would be nice to, if they're thinking the Machinima route, which I hope they are, because if you look at all the community art that's come out, I mean, the video version of that would be something like Machinima. It'd be nice to support that community again.
Theater has been available in every Halo game since Halo 3.
Right.
And in all those games, I think in Halo 4 you couldn't go into campaign, right?
Right. There was a way if you modded the game to activate theater for campaign. Yeah. But no, it did not have campaign theater.
But the previous versions of theater were much more functional than what they released in Halo 5. We don't need a lot in theater. We need to be able, you need to be able to fast forward, reverse, play, and change camera angles.
It would be cool for multiplayer. I mean,
there's a lot of other things that you could do with theater, but it's a very short list of what you really need to have in theater.
Sure.
You know, the list of wants is as long as the list is we want for an infinite.
It'd be cool for multiplayer to, and we've talked about this before, but have a path or some kind of track that you could put a camera on. So if you wanted to do some cool montage stuff and you see a clip, then you can kind of set camera points to actually record a clip, and that way you're not having to worry about a jerky stick move or something else like that.
Like I said, the list of wants is huge, but for basic stuff, if they gave is that, especially the rewind feature, not skip back.
Yeah,
that for anything that I do, and granted, I don't do montages, I don't do machinima or anything, that is something that I would like to have. And I would like it to save those clips locally. You know, when you get done with a game, it puts a saved clip on your Xbox of that game. And, you know, holds it for 7 days or whatever. It doesn't have to stay there permanently. And then when I make a clip, it saves it to my Xbox and it stays there until I delete it.
Yeah, so like how Halo 3 did.
You have your temporary cache and then you have your permanent save.
Right. It would store up to the last 25 unless you actually saved it. There's definitely room for improvements. Yeah, I just don't know if it's something that they would actually add for the flighting program.
Yeah, like I said, I would like to see the theater before the game launches. I don't think it's going to be in the flighting, but definitely the armor customization. I want to see at least a limited selection of what they have planned.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what Hidden Xperia was kind of alluding to. Make sure it's thoroughly tested, but keep some of the stuff actually new for people when it launches. So no, like definitely put in some kind of small subset to verify the functions actually work and that people like the methods on how you go about getting new armor pieces, but definitely don't just throw everything out there. So thanks for responding, Hidden Experience. I don't know if you will listen to this, but we appreciate your reply to our post. The Crazed Spartan says, I want to see Crazed Spartan in the game. I mean, I think everyone wants to see themselves in the game at some point. On a serious note, he wants to see Spartan customization to rival and possibly surpass Halo Reach. I want to see the challenges, a weapon skin, painter, forge, and every Halo game type in history.
Well, I definitely can't argue with the game type.
I'd say final game maybe have all the game types. If they know they can implement.
Yeah, I would like to see a good assortment of game types for flighting, though.
I think for flighting, you definitely want a core set of game modes. So have Slayer, have CTF, have Oddball. But I don't think you would necessarily in the flying program have to put in something like Juggernaut or Dominion or that kind of stuff.
I figure, you know, your basic Team Slayer, CTF, Oddball,
King of the Hill,
and
that tests out most of the like additional map features or however you want to say that, but with Hill, that covers strongholds because you have that zone mechanic. So you're testing out mechanics, basically. You have a ball and oddball, which could be used for grift ball. Sorry, DJ. And then, depending on how they do it, that ball could also work for assault. And then assault, because assault is kind of a mix of having something like an oddball and then CTF. So if you at least have Slayer, CTF, Oddball, and King of the Hill, you're getting most of those mechanics that make up all those other game modes tested for. King of the Hill could also, the Hill zones could be reused for race. So I think at least that core set, and then if they're trying to develop any new game modes, I think those should also be pushed through the flighting program as well. Or maybe at least some of them if they're testing out new functions, and if they want to keep some of it new and fresh for with the final game, then like kind of how they did the network test for Halo Reach. Like they called it network test 1, but it was eventually for their firefight. So something like that. I missed this earlier, but Kevin was saying for the theater stuff, have an AR view where you could basically watch a game live from a bird's eye view. Which I think that'd be cool for casting. Thanks, Craze, for your submission as well. Sith Venator, he says, test everything important. Matchmaking, customization, ranks, maps, weapons, vehicles, player movement, and core game types. I think you pretty much laid out the whole purpose of the flying program right there. I don't see why they wouldn't cover all of that. Diatrack says, monthly tests, access to everyone who's already an insider, which I believe they've already confirmed, and allowance to stream / create videos during the program. If they go down the route that the flighting program went for MCC, which I could see them doing, they'll probably limit the flighting experience to being an NDA and you can't post anything for like the really early flighting builds. I think as they kind of go on further and they have the chance to allow the media to report on certain things, then they might open up streaming of the flighting program. For example, I've been invited to some press events and have gotten to play things early, and then after 3 or 4 weeks or whatever, I can post content that I've recorded or created based off of what I learned. And I think that's kind of a smart way to go about it, because you want to make sure that the insider flighter people have a chance to take the input back and kind of really solidify and set people's expectations, because there's a lot of people out there, unfortunately, that will see something like this. It's like, oh, they're ruining Halo because this is broken and this is broken. Well, it's like, well, you're testing pre-release code, so yeah, that's the point. So it's using the insiders to kind of help set an expectation and make sure there's something that's going out that, while there's still the potential for bugs, it won't be as buggy in a real-world scenario.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The early flights, they basically, they want the testers' information on that, but they don't want to show off their problems.
Right.
And other than I totally get that.
Yeah, and there's going to be problems that come up. There were problems that came up during the MCC flighting program when people were streaming, and I think because that was flight number 3 where they started that, everyone that was in the flighting program had the chance to set other people's expectations, and that kind of helped buffer that feedback from everyone else who wasn't in the flighting program, basically.
I mean, you know, really, honestly, if I am accepted into the flighting program, I wouldn't really want to talk about it, in a detailed fashion, because there's too many opportunities to accidentally tint somebody's feel for Infinite as to what they want to get, what they're expecting. And then they hear me talking about the game, and that just gets pushed off onto, well, it's broken. I ain't going to fix it. I ain't going to buy it. I don't want to do that. Because people are smart, or a person is smart. People are dumb.
I was going to say, a person is smart. People can be really, really dumb.
When you get that group mentality going, people do stupid stuff.
Yep. Yes,
you know, the old phrase, hey bud, hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly.
You hear that? Look out,
go hide.
It's just, so the early stuff I really wouldn't want to talk about, other than to say that I was pleased with what they showed me. That would be about the limit to what I would say about it. I wouldn't give any details or anything like that.
And depending when they would let people stream, that also helps set a expectation and, in a way, kind of generating that hype for the game. So game studios have very strict timelines on when they post certain things to hype certain aspects of games or IPs. And I'm sure they would do the same thing for the flighting program.
Honestly, if they even allow streaming, I would not expect to see them allow you to stream until towards the end of the flighting program. Until they get, a more polished multiplayer, I really don't expect them to allow people to stream. But,
I can agree to that, because that's kind of how they did it for MCC. And I think the flighting program was a big success for MCC, so I don't see why they would necessarily change it too much for Infinite. Next one is Jessa Birdie, who basically replied with wide open eyes. Yep. Just the wide open eyes emoji. So she's probably listening to this, or she'll probably download this and listen to it. Or she's just seeing everyone's replies to the Twitter post. And there's Laird. He's finally stopped lurking.
About time.
Keys writes in, for sure, a variety of game modes that we didn't have in Halo 5's launch. Oddball Infection, King of the Hill. Just to see how they play out from the start and rotate them weekly or something like that. As well as maybe a BR mode, test alpha or beta even, if they're doing such a mode. Which, I would personally love to see a BR mode. I know there are people that would hate to see a BR mode. Judging by the sounds of it, though, I don't think we'll get a BR mode in flighting. I think what they're probably going to focus on is the multiplayer aspect. Maybe if they were to even touch campaign, have maybe a demo campaign level that probably doesn't even match up with how the final campaign experience is going to be. If they even touch campaign.
Yeah, I don't see them touching campaign. I mean, if they did campaign, what I would recommend they do is, a short mission that hints but doesn't tell you anything about the story.
Yeah, similar how they did the E3 Halo 2 demo mission type of thing. Like, it definitely had a tie into the campaign, but it didn't reveal too much about it.
Yeah, it didn't really tell you about the story of the campaign, other than, obviously, the Covenant have made it to Earth. Something like that.
And it could be something where, since we know Infinite's really taking place on the bigger stage, they just want to test the limits of how well do assets load on a large map with multiple people in it across the internet. Something like that. Abelistics says it would be really cool if Infinite were to bring some type of closet. Okay. I'll just make sure I read that right. Be able to save your Spartan armor. Really surprised that Halo has not brought something out like that. It's really annoying to have to search and place your armor on yourself.
Yeah. That would be great for the final game.
I'm kind of confused on his tweet.
Basically, so like, you save an armor set.
Okay,
you that's pick your helmet, you pick your arms, you pick your chest, and then you can save that set, and then you can just go into your closet and say, well, I want to wear that set armor today.
Okay. I thought that's where he was going. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, instead of the way they have it now, where you have to basically just scroll through all the armor until you find the piece you're looking for.
That would also be great for Machinima. Just going to point that one out there. I'm a big fan of Machinima. Machinima.
Well, I'm too. Unfortunately, it's been made with all the innovations they've made to make it easier. They've done some other things that have made it harder as well.
Yep. As far as having that in the flighting program.
Like I said, that would be something for the final game.
Yeah, because that's something that they could test in the back end. And it's not anything that's going to be game time sensitive, which I think the flighting program is probably going to be geared towards most. But that's just a feature, I think, for the final game. Really, I wouldn't see that in the flighting program. Misa Red says, for flights, I'd like to see the full campaign more so than a ton of multiplayer.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, if anything happens, a short campaign level, maybe.
Right. They're not going to divulge the story before the game comes out. Yeah, I highly doubt that's going to happen. Confell says, similar to Crazed, me. He says, that for Sirius, show split screen functioning well. That'd be another good reason to test co-op and campaign, possibly, is the split screen.
Well, you can do that multiplayer as well.
Yeah, but the mechanics of the scripting, unless they kind of do that with forward scripting, depending on how far that is along in the flighting, there's scripting and campaign that you probably want to test. So, I mean, I could see that being done if they were to include some small piece of campaign. Would love a big team map right off the bat.
Definitely.
I'm shaking my head yes over here. Or nodding my head yes over here. That way you can have a good...
Kind of hard for the audio side of this to hear your brain rattling.
I know. That way you can have a good group together and talk about what needs tweaked. Yeah.
Well, also, you get to see how the game plays on a large scale.
Yeah, and it's the ultimate network stress test is, and this could also be something where if they wanted to experiment with 32 players in multiplayer, see if it can handle it, and then if not, okay, maybe dial it back to 24. It'd be a good real-world test of, okay, how far can we really push multiplayer into something like this, because you have Fortnite and PUBG and all these other battle royale games that have 100 people on the map to start. They can do it. Halo should be able to do it. It'd be cool to have 96 Spartans on a huge battlefield just duking it out. Maybe not that many, maybe 64, but yeah. You kind of get what I mean.
yeah, the other side of that is they also need to build maps that will support a large group of players.
Yes. And Big Team does not need to be shoehorned in through Forge. It needs to be supported natively.
Yes.
By the developers.
Now, I don't mind if they give the Forgers canvases that can you can build Big Team maps on. That's fine. But I do want to see some developer Big Team maps.
I think that's a must for Infinite.
But yeah, I would like to see, you know, maybe at least two flight tests of BTB, you know, that really focus on BTB.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, you know, the bulk of the game is still going to be 4v4. You know, that's the way Halo's always been. So, you know, I don't mind if they spend more time focused on that, but they do need to get BTB in there and get testing on it.
For sure. That's something that needs to happen. CAA said Halo 4 rocked with BTB maps, and yeah, that was one thing that Halo 4 did well was Big Team. One of the only things that Halo 4 did well for multiplayer.
Too bad they had to paper mache vehicles.
Ward 47 says, I like to see them start off small, as usual, with traditional arena mode, then build up to BTB and other existing modes, then test out the waters with new modes we haven't seen before.
Fair enough.
I don't think we'll see too much as far as new modes in the flighting program, maybe one or two to test some other game mechanics. But again, we want to see some stuff saved for the final game. Elaborate Toast. I think flighting needs to be laser focused for each session. A flight for gameplay, a flight for maps, a flight for matchmaking, a flight for customization and progression, a flight for ranked. Flighting should always have surveys after each session for feedback.
Well, I agree with the survey part. I really don't think we need a whole session devoted to customization and progression.
No, I think that can be bundled in, but yeah. The gameplay, maps, and matchmaking, I could see those being focuses on different sessions. We kind of got that a little bit for the MCC flighting, where there were certain aspects that they were testing. So one of them was the dedicated server. So there was a flight that was targeted towards testing out the dedicated server piece, the changes there. Then there was the focus on actually getting the matches quicker. So I think if they keep that mentality of how they target their flights, and then they had the surveys after each flight for MCC, which if they keep that, that makes sense. So yeah, I think pretty much he's just kind of putting the nail in the coffin of keep doing what they're doing as far as the targeted flight items and the surveys. They also says, along with this, I think you need to follow-up flights as well with extensive notes on changes. You can't make the entire game by committee, but just a day or two to gameplay, tweak it, and another 2 days versus a week of focus on one build that would be adjusted once. I don't see them not doing that.
They need to focus on building their game. I mean, don't get me wrong, community feedback is great, but they can't try to implement everything that is suggested to them.
No, but I think what he's getting at is make sure that the flighting is iterative. So take the feedback, take the majority of the feedback, make the changes, and then see if the changes that they applied actually go in line with what the community was thinking those changes would do. And basically, it's like confirm whether it actually is good or bad instead of just taking input and saying, okay, we fix it, when in matter of fact, you either made it worse or you didn't address the problem altogether. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Uncharted Gaming says, include one playable map that was created in the Forge mode. I can see that happening.
Not a bad one, no.
No. That gives the opportunity to have people look at how the palettes will work, and if it's going to be anything like Halo 5's Forge, it's going to be a lot of possibilities. Well, I
definitely don't see them stepping back from Halo 5's Forge.
No, not with after
You done already gave us a sucker. Don't be taking it away now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Tom French is lead of the multiplayer stuff for Infinite, and that the UGC stuff, which is basically Forge, has been his baby from the start. So yeah, I think we're solid there. I don't think we have anything to worry about there. Dak 709 says, be specific in what you need from us in order to be in the program from start to finish. Matchmaking gameplay only with some armor customization. Stats that carry over to Infinite. I don't think I've ever seen a game where stats during a pre-release build carry over. So I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
It doesn't make sense to happen either. Matchmaking gameplay only with some armor customization. So we did see in MCC where they had custom game testing as well, and I think that's probably going to be a necessity to test dedicated servers for custom games, and also testing the connection flow for customs versus matchmaking.
Yeah, they definitely need to have both customs and matchmaking in there.
I would agree with that.
You know, for nothing else, is so that you can, for the simple thing, like in MCC, they made a change to controllers, but you can't test it without going into multiplayer. You can't.
That was frustrating. Tweak it.
You have to get into a multiplayer game and stand there in a corner, spin around in circles while you adjust your controls. That just doesn't make any sense.
He's talking about matchmaking.
Matchmaking.
Not customs.
You don't have to have a lot. Just one map. Some place where, you know, we can go in and play with the controls and tweak them. And, you know, if we want to do some testing for fire rates, things like that, we can do that without tying up a multiplayer match and ruining the experience for other players.
No, I agree. That was one of those things. You really didn't put the forethought into this, but yeah. There are certain things that the custom game ability should be there to test. I also think it'd be cool to test. Oh, well, someone mentioned this later on, so I won't mention now, but I'll bring it up then.
Okay.
Never mind. Next one we have is from Dimitri. He says, I'm fine with the removal of offensive-based Spartan abilities. The removal of movement-based ones seems really backwards and unintuitive.
I would agree with that. And that would be something worth testing in the flighting program.
I think we'll see that one for sure in the flighting program. Another name to butcher, Zephiel?
You know who you are.
Oh. You know who you are. XCPYAL. As many aspects of the game as possible, Arena and Warzone, or anything else you might come with, VR, Firefight, custom games, whatever. Custom games, Forge, Theater, and FileShare. FileShare might be a good one because of the lack thereof in Halo 5.
Well, or
not lack thereof necessarily, just the
FileShare is
cumbersomeness
fine,
of.
But I don't see it being something that really needs to be tested during a flighting program.
I mean, if you want to test, well, I get, yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, you could, about the only thing you test is, can I save a file and can somebody else browse me, browse my gamer tag and find it?
Well, and be able to download it and load it up into your local game, something like that.
Like I said, I don't think that's something they really need 3,000 people to be able to test.
No.
I mean, Forge would be nice. Especially it gives us a sneak peek at maybe a new feature in Forge, like paste or undo or, you know, whatever. You know, that would be cool. You know, we've already talked about theater. I mean, it would be nice to see if they have a functional theater. But yeah, the only thing I'd say is, you know, the fire file share thing, I don't think it would be good for a flighting program. There's more important things to really hammer out in a flighting program than the file share.
I can see that. Hungry Bear says, I'd like to see multiplayer, a taste of customization, maybe custom matches possible so we can test out split screen, a PvE mode so things get tested as well. That'd be what I'd like. They could be possibly monthly or maybe bi-monthly, like 3 game modes to collect decent data. So PvE mode, basically Warzone, if that's something they keep, or whatever evolution of that might be for Infinite.
Or a short campaign mission.
Yeah.
Either way.
Cameron Hill says, no Prometheans and the return of the Brutes. As for multiplayer, less armor abilities and more classic dynamics. Depends on what they're testing multiplayer-wise. If they're doing something like Warzone, then I don't think... It's hard to know what's going to be there without knowing how they're going to move the story. There is the possibility of Brutes because of what we've seen with Halo Wars 2. I don't think the Prometheans are necessarily going away. It might not be there as much, but I don't see the Prometheans going away.
Yeah, I mean, if... You know, honestly, in a flighting program, if they're going to bring the Brutes back, I doubt we'd see them.
Yeah, unless it's something like a firefight or Warzone testing or some other mode.
I would doubt that we would see them.
Yeah.
Because that would hint way too much towards the story.
Yeah, that would be kind of a solid, oh, Banshee's coming.
You know, unless they come out and confirm it beforehand, you know, and make an announcement, then okay, yeah. But yeah, the one thing I hope they do is hold back on the classic stuff. I mean, classic armor, that's one thing. Classic gameplay, I don't want a lot of that. You know, I want, you know, it doesn't have to be Halo 5. It doesn't have to be Halo 4. I definitely don't want it to be Halo 3. Yeah, I want it to be Halo Infinite. I don't want it to be one of the other games. I don't mind if I have to adjust my playstyle. Because every game since Halo CE, you have adjusted your playstyle.
I think the playstyle from 5 to Infinite probably will not be as drastic as we've seen some other.
Yeah, it will be different. A smaller change than it was from 3 to 4, from 2 to 3, or even from CE to 2.
I think we're finally getting to that point where with first-person shooters that there's not much more innovation as far as movement in games. I say that, and you look at what Titanfall is doing. But for your traditional military shooter, I don't think there's much more wiggle room there to come up with new things. So that's where you have the Spartan abilities really coming into play with Grandpa is the one that kind of really sticks out. That's uniquely Halo. But Clamber has been in other games, like being able to climb over walls, like thrusting and dashing. And
you know, really, the only other things they could do is the go-prone mechanic.
Yeah, which doesn't really work with Halo's pacing.
It doesn't.
Although, I mean, it'd be interesting for campaign.
You can do wall running like they do in Titanfall. And really, other than that, you know, there's not a whole lot of things that they could do different.
Right.
Like I said, if they drop the Spartan charge into ground pound, I will not miss them at all.
Agreed.
As far as in actual gameplay. Keep them for custom games, but for actual gameplay, off.
No, I agree with you there. Keep Halo progressing. Let's not go back to other Halos because, you know what? If you want to play those Halos, they're still there.
Yeah. You know, classic art style? Fine. You know, bring it back closer to Halo 3. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't want to go backwards in game mechanics.
And you can't. That's not how the industry is designed. Darth7719 says, I think you should have a small flight mode or firefight mode where people can test the AI to see if it's balanced or not for the campaign and hopefully multiplayer. I think that's a great idea. Test the AI for something like a Warzone or a Firefight, test it for a campaign. Heck, it'd be even cool if you could kind of create your own campaign AI scripts in Forge. I know they said it was kind of difficult to do in the Halo 5 engine, but maybe...
Well, maybe with rework, it might be easier.
That'd be cool. That'd be a really cool addition. Then you could really do some cool stuff with Machinima. The Eld says Halo 5's gameplay unchanged.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, but...
No, I okay. don't. You gotta progress. You can't just keep churning out the same stuff.
I mean, there will be changes. We don't know what they are, but it will change.
If he's kind of going more along the lines of the underlying mechanics, like how the movement works, how aiming works, how most of the weapons currently stand and vehicles and that kind of stuff, I could see them staying pretty close to home with what Halo 5 did. Because honestly, to me, the multiplayer experience for Halo 5 is the best multiplayer experience next to Halo 2 for me.
Like, yeah, overall, if I were to rank. Overall, Halo 5 is my favorite Halo when it comes to multiplayer.
Now, for the armor, for the Spartan abilities, yeah, I could see some of that changing. But the underlying mechanics of how you move, the weapons, aside from the whole BR balance debate, the vehicles, and the Golden Tricycle gameplay, it feels really good.
And I'm with Eric Ibu on this one, pre-weapon tuning.
Well, they're going to be tuning their weapons for Infinite specifically.
Right. Well, I meant as far as fun factor.
Sure. Yeah. Elaborate Toast replied to him saying, with MCC's launch matchmaking, the duo can't be beat. I think that was more of a joke. But Grunt 4500 says to be a part of it. I think we all would love to be a part of it.
I'll vote for that one.
Yeah. I'd love to see customization options, base multiplayer such as Slayer, BTB, some kind of mode to test AI combat, but nothing too much so at release insiders are still surprised.
Yeah. I can agree with all that.
Sheen Stir says, I just want to see everything so that everything can improve.
That would be nice, but I doubt that's going to happen.
Right. Way to be vague. There's going to be certain aspects that they're going to show us in the flighting program because it's something that's going to help shape the end product. They're not going to put something out there just to say, hey, this is what's coming and what's new. They're not going to do that. They're only going to be testing stuff that's really going to make a difference in gameplay and experience in the long run.
We might see a new weapon so they can kind of get the
balance
feel for how to balance it, things like that. Like I was saying earlier, the AI thing, if they're going to add brutes to the game, I wouldn't expect to see them in the flighting unless they actually announce it publicly, either through a vidoc or something like that, kind of like when the brutes were originally introduced in Halo 2.
Last one we have is from Assassin Wolf 73. He says multiplayer, not all maps, but all base game modes, Team Slayer, CTF, etc. The armor customization with not many sets and all customization settings that are developed.
Yeah, I would like to see, the basic sets, the stuff that's already been in the game before. Your base armor, maybe recon or, recon or, something that some of the more popular sets. And that way you can kind of play with it, mix and match and stuff like that.
So that's all the submissions that we got on Twitter. So thank you, everyone who replied to us on Twitter. I have a couple of things in mind that was not mentioned. GT, I'll let you have the stage first. Was there anything in there that you have thought of that was not covered?
I mean, really, that it covers most of what I really would be looking for. I would like to see a short campaign mission just to kind of test out the campaign side of the engine. I'd like a wide, at least the base game types, the things that pretty much most of the other game types are built off of, or employ the same style of mechanics like, King of the Hill, Territories, they're kind of the same mechanic. They're implemented a little different way. You know, same with strongholds. It's basically King of the Hill, except there you have, you know, you have to occupy two hills at a time. It same thing. It would be great to see a theater mode. The customization, custom games, to me, are required. Being able to play split screen, which I'm sure that is something that's part of it. You know, that is something
I'd be surprised if it wasn't going
to be part of the flighting.
I'd be very surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah, if it's not there, they've probably shot themselves in the foot. It doesn't necessarily have to be four-person split screen right off the bat, but at least two-person split screen right off the bat, just to show it's there and it's working.
And maybe that's a flighting thing later on down the line where it can be a little more quote-unquote public. Because in order to test that split screen, you need to have someone else to play with.
Right.
And if they're not read into the program, then it's like, okay, can you really have them be testing if you're not actually part of the program? Yeah.
But that's something that needs to be there. And that really covers most of my, you know, most of the stuff I'd want to see in the flighting program, the things that I would be really interested in helping 343 tune.
Yep. I would additionally like to see some, whether it's in the game interface or if there's going to be a special portal on Waypoint where you could go and test this out, but a place to kind of see how the stats are presented for your career.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That's something that I think sometimes can get overlooked. They collect the stats on the back end because they're analyzing data and whatnot, but...
Well, they definitely overlooked it with the Halo channel.
Yes, they did. Being able to just look at your career stats, obviously within the flighting program, and being able to custom search on certain things, and this is more just for me than kind of in general, but being able to flight test the stats API would be kind of nice, so people can provide feedback on what they want to see and how they want to see it presented. Because the API for Halo 5 is very slim compared to some of the other APIs that we've seen in the past. So it'd be nice to kind of test that and provide input into the API core stats. And we'll obviously see menu stuff, so testing out different menu layouts and presentations of menu navigation, that kind of stuff. So that should be in there. But that, I think that's kind of the only other thing that stands out is really the stats.
Well, making that's sure a good one.
Making sure the post-game carnage report is thorough enough, but not overly detailed. And then finding a place where you can go and review your stats.
Yeah. Where you can go more in depth.
Yep. In-game. I say in-game at the minimum. And if they're going to do the website, then it should be the website in addition to the game.
Yeah, I would like to see them actually revamp the Halo app and you include that kind of stuff in the app.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
To where you don't have to go to a computer to get a deeper dive. You can just switch applications and look at your career history and look at this stuff. You know, click on a game, see how many medals you got, what medals you got, what your KDA was. Even heat maps would be great, but I don't see that happening. But because I know they collect the data, but
I honestly think the only reason why the app is still there is because that's how you get to the terminals for MCC,
and you can't even access the terminals anymore.
So, yeah, I think that app is pretty much dead.
It has a display error. It won't. You can't even watch terminals anymore. But, you know, that's a whole different subject. But, you know, I think this list does a pretty good job of covering, you know, what we really would like to see, what the community would really like to see in the flighting program. I agree with most of it. Some of it is really wishful, like the full campaign. Misa, really?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
You know, a campaign level or a demo level is I don't think out of the realm of a reasonable request, you know, just to get an idea of, you know, because you can get an idea of how the AI functions. You silly things like the Prometheans teleporting crap, that would be a good place to test that. Stuff like that, you know, so you make sure that, you know, along with a good story for the campaign, that you have fun gameplay and it's not just freaking annoying.
No, I don't think a demo mode or demo mission is too much to ask for the flight.
No, I don't think it is. It, like I said, as far as any story that's actually in the campaign level that you put up, all it's got to do is hint. You don't have to tell us anything. But I tell you what, you put a little hint in there, and the community will go nuts with it.
Yeah, they will. I mean, heck, that might even be a way to do it.
Just the trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I've seen 20 or 30 videos on just the trailer.
Because it's that dang good. So that was our topic for the week. So thank you, everyone, that submitted a tweet in response. We haven't chosen the topic for next week. Do you have anything in mind, GT? Do we want to go with what Uni was asking in the update? Or do we want to go with something else?
No! I was being serious! There is no way I could pick a piece.
He gave us the perfect setup, though.
I know, but there is no way I could pick a single piece of art to do that with.
What about top three? Or top five?
Maybe top 30.
How about we post that one for a month out?
How about we ask the community their picks and we'll pick from that.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay.
All right.
At least it gets it narrowed down to under 100.
All right. I'm okay with that. So next week's topic, we're gonna steal Uni's. I don't know if he's intentionally setting us up with that one based on our tweet from last week or if that's just a one that he thought of or whatnot. I do have a couple other ones that we can save for another show. But the question is going to be if you could have one high quality, like full res print of a piece of artwork, official artwork, not necessarily fan art, but official artwork, whether it's a book cover, conception art, poster, whatever, what would your, and we can say what your top three is, that way we can get a little bit of variety. So what would be your top three for things that you would want printed? So imagine that a giant poster, full res, full high quality. What would you want? So that's going to be our question for next week. So thanks, Uni. We're going to steal that one. Wrapping up the show, we have the latest Halo Legendary crate featuring Cat. That one is available for order until February 15th. So head on over to podtackler.com/lootcrate to pre-order your crate. And you can get $3 off by using the code PODTACULAR at checkout. I have actually taken the time to look into the Podcast Network podcasts. And what I found was quite dreary. Critscast, last podcast of 2018 was episode 457, recorded on June 26th. But they did actually record a podcast this past weekend. So 458 was recorded on Sunday. So they are still around and kicking. So you can check them out over at critzcast.com. That is KRITZKAST.com. Saying Zed for the UK folks since it's a UK podcast.
I was going to say, did you just move to Canada when I wasn't looking or what?
No, just giving a little bit of shout out to the Brits over there. The last Podcast 76 recording was on February 11th of last year. That was your year 2, episode 32. So they're probably done. Guardian Radio is still kicking. They're on episode 279, which they recorded on the 18th of December. Then How to Murder Time is on episode 213. Their last episode was on the 10th of October. Work in progress, I couldn't find, so I'm guessing they're not there anymore. So, out of the original podcast, we have Critzcast still going, Guardian Radio still going, and How to Murder Time still going as well. So, the podcast network website is still down, but you can check out all those different podcasts. So, Critzcast.com, TheGuardiansOfDestiny.com, and HowToMurderTime.com. Oh, Pins is telling me Guardian Radio's last show is next week.
Well, that's interesting.
Are we sure? Because there was some big news that came out today.
Yeah.
For those who aren't in the know, Bungie announced today that they are splitting off from Activision and will have full publishing rights to the Destiny IP.
Wow. That's about Guardian Radio, not about Bungie. For Bungie, huge news.
Huge. Donald Trump, huge.
That is something that's, I'm not going to say it really plagued Destiny, but it definitely changed Destiny.
Oh, it changed the whole Bungie atmosphere. I mean, you saw all the people that left because of Activision coming in.
Yeah.
And I have been so against Destiny because of all the just poor decisions that have been made, and we know it's pretty much because of Activision. So the fact that Activision is now out of the hands of Bungie is like, oh, I actually feel okay being excited about Destiny again.
We'll see where it goes. I don't expect any big changes until their next game.
Yeah, I don't either, but
the current games are out there. They're going to be per as they were launched. I don't see them making any big changes there.
Yeah, I am a lot more excited about Destiny now, and I am so happy for Bungie. There was a tweet that I saw where, or maybe it was a Facebook post, but it was basically something saying, there's no animosity towards Activision from Bungie. And then it's like, that was always jokingly said. And then there was a picture of text, I guess, from someone at the office saying, there were cheers when it was announced in the office that this split was official.
Yeah. There's probably multiple reasons for that cheer. And not all of them are bad reasons, like being out from underneath Activision's thumb. You also have to look at it to the point that Bungie has gotten to the point where they can stand on their own feet again. You know, like they were before they developed Halo. They were an indie company. That's the way they started. Of course, you know, granted, all these game companies started as indie companies. But before Halo showed up, this is the way they were. And now they've finally gotten back to that. Unfortunately, all the people that were there for the first time are now gone, but you know, that is a big deal, especially with the last couple of years, how many developers have closed the doors. You know, how many game developers have we lost in just the last couple of years? You know, because of just lack of funds.
I would be very curious if after today's news, Pins, that they decide to make their next episode their last episode. I think that news is way too big. Unless they're leaving for family reasons.
Yeah, it kind of all depends on why they're doing it. I mean, 280 episodes, that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they started before Destiny even launched. I mean, they started
a full year.
Yeah, they started it shortly after the game was announced. So they had a whole year of just talking about speculation.
I will definitely have to listen to next week's show. I don't normally listen to their show, but I will have to listen to next week's show.
Me as well.
Wow. All right. For our Spartan company, it's kind of funny. We mentioned last week how for the hijacking and skyjacking commendation. We were two away. Well, that hasn't changed at all since last week. It was funny. We saw progress every week on that one, and then just between last week and this week, nothing. So we still have that one. And then we still have the next two closest ones being Bodyguard, which is protecting a teammate, and From Downtown, which is killing an enemy Spartan from long distance. So hopefully that one that we have two, maybe we'll get it next week.
Maybe we'll
have one, or maybe again we'll have none.
We'll have it tomorrow night.
That's true. If we're trying to grind Warzone, trying to get some of those double XP boosts or double XP on boosts done, then yeah, we definitely could have some done by tomorrow, for sure. We do have space in our Spartan company, so if you're interested in joining, just head on over to podtackler.com/company and request to enlist. Another shout out to the Halo Hub, the Discord for community content creators and community alike to share content created by the community. If you want to find out more about it, head over to thehalohub.com. For our live streams, you can check us out on Thursdays at 9 p.m., which is when we record our podcast. Dragon Friday starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, hosted by Godzilla T. And we are happy to announce that Misa Red will also be joining the streaming squad and will be helping out with Fraggin' Fridays. So GT will have a little bit of relief every now and then to game night hosting. So we are happy to welcome aboard Misa on that.
Cool, now I can crash her streams.
There you go.
Hi!
There you go. We have our Sunday streams that I do for achievements. That starts at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday. And we did not do this last week or this past Tuesday because we actually had other plans that I had forgotten about. So when I said last week that my wife and I would be starting Halo 2, I lied. We'll be starting that this coming week for Halo 2. We had made plans to celebrate her birthday on Tuesday last week, and I had forgotten about them during the podcast recording. So, yeah, we couldn't exactly cancel those. But this Tuesday, we will start her Halo 2 run and campaign. And that's on my personal channel. That will be Duststorm on Mixer, and if I can get the setup working, then it'll be on Mixer and Twitch and YouTube at the same time. GT also streams some achievement stuff, whether it's achieving Halo or him just getting achievements, and he will post that on the Twitter and Discord whenever he's doing that, and probably the Xbox Club as well,
if I remember.
Yeah. Also, make sure you check out our social media. We are on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, and whatever other your favorite podcast apps are. Just search for PodTackler and you should find it. Thanks again, everyone, for your invaluable input for our topic for this week. I think it was really cool to have something to discuss other than news. Still working on the balance of how much we deviate on news stuff near the beginning of the show. Bear with us as we work through that. We'll try to get the shows back down to a shorter time frame. Just going to take a little bit of getting the feel for the new layout of the show. I have reached out to a few people to possibly be on the show, so I am working that. And I am hoping by, not this weekend, but next weekend, I will have Thursday War done. And we'll be starting Mortal Dictata. Is that the right one?
Mm-hmm. That's the last book.
Yeah. Okay. Book Club podcast, hopefully in the beginning of February for the Karen Travis trilogy, Kilo 5 trilogy. That's our time frame on that. Thanks everyone who came and supported us during the live stream. Appreciate it. Go on in and hop in the chat for those that are listening to the download if you have the chance to. We stream for the podcast on Mixer, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. So make sure you check us out on all of those. And until next week, we hope to catch you during one of our other streams. If not, we'll catch you on next week's show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Keep on fragging them New Year's resolutions.